This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there was a Sunday morning, and a father gave his son a couple of quarters and a dollar. And he told the son, he said, put the dollar in the offering, the father said. The offering plates, when they come around, make sure you put the dollar in there. And then you have the 50 cents to get ice cream after church. But when the boy came home, the father discovered that he still had the dollar. And he asked the son, why didn't you put the dollar in the offering plate like I told you to do? And the boy said, well, this is what happened. The preacher said that God loves a cheerful giver. And well, I could give the 50 cents more cheerfully than I could give the dollar. Some might say that there is no room in the church to talk about money or politics. But I argue today that Jesus does just those things. You can't get more money and political than taxes and emperors. But why do we talk about money? So you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever worried about money? Ever? How many of you have ever wondered if you'll have enough to pay the bills? How many of you got a job when you were younger because you wanted to have some freedom to do the things and didn't want to have to rely on anybody else? Somehow that didn't pass on to my kids. How many of you have ever gotten a bank statement and said, whoa, where did it all go? On a side note, I discovered earlier this week that we actually had two subscriptions to Disney Plus. Did you know that the average American family has $50 of subscriptions a month they don't know about? This is why we talk about money. Because if we believe that God is in everything, as in Isaiah says today, and as the psalmist praises God today, then God wants to be in our relationship with money. That these two things cannot be separate. And today we encounter the Pharisees, and they're really trying to get Jesus to say the wrong thing. You see, because they're frustrated with this man named Jesus. He has come into town, and he has turned everything that they thought they knew up on its head. But they also know that there are ways of the world that they don't necessarily agree with, and any good Jewish person would know, we don't like paying taxes to the emperor. But Jesus also knows they're trying to trap him. Because, see, they're trying to trap him into saying something that would get him in trouble with the Roman Empire so that then they wouldn't have to deal with this difficult man. But when we look at the matter of coins, and Jesus says literally, give me the money you're talking about. What are you talking about? Give it to me. The matter of coins raises this idea about obedience and loyalty and authority. And Jesus says, well, whose image is on this coin? But the deeper question that Jesus wants to ask all of us and those who are listening is, whose image is on you? You see, the truth that emerges from Isaiah is the assurance that God, the Lord, is creator. That the Lord, God, is ruler of all nations. And that the Lord, God, is uniquely God. Not like any emperor that has ever ruled the world. You see, Isaiah has a grand view of history, and Isaiah sees it unfolding in a way that makes the Lord known to everyone, everywhere. And it's a vision of abundance. A vision that there is more than enough for everybody. How many of us have ever wondered if we would have enough money? But ultimately, as Isaiah goes, ultimately, if everything belongs to God, and Jesus reiterates that, if everything belongs to God, then give to God what belongs to God. You see, what he's arguing in front of the Pharisees is this idea of paying taxes, this idea of faith. He says, no longer is our faith supposed to be internal and privatized where nobody asks those difficult questions. Rather, faith is a personal matter that needs to be professed. And we profess that faith with every aspect of our life. You see, what Jesus is saying to those who are listening, and I found it kind of funny that they were amazed, because I thought, well, it's pretty clear. I mean, he said, pay your taxes and give God what God is due. But they were amazed. Because underneath what he was truly saying is, we do not belong to Caesar. We belong to God. We do not belong to our possessions. We belong to God. We do not belong to a political party, but we belong to God. We do not belong to the demands of our vocation that cause us to work and strive and sweat and tear. We belong to God. We do not belong to the charms and the glitter and the shiny things of this world. We belong to God. And we are called to give to God the things that are God's, and first to testify that everything belongs to God, all of creation, and that second, we cannot place that below anything. We cannot place this truth that everything belongs to God below anything the world tells us should be more important. So the question Jesus presents to the people today is, which currency are we truly living with? The world will tell us it's not enough, but God says there is always enough. We are called to be citizens of a kingdom that is not here. We are called to give to an emperor that is God alone. And as Jesus says, yes, I know you are living here on earth, but our currency is not of this world. Next Sunday is going to be our annual stewardship. It's a loaded word, stewardship, but essentially it's the idea that we are stewards of everything that God has given. Much like the vineyards, we've heard so many stories in the last couple of weeks about people who are called to tend to things that belong to God. And we, friends, are called to tend to things that belong to God. And as we prepare for this important spiritual decision, we are all asked to reflect on the question, what is God calling me to give? Now see, this is a personal and a spiritual question. And there are three kinds of people that might answer this question in three different ways. Some people answering him at saying, I feel called to give God 10% for the work that God is doing in this community. And I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I really want to try to begin that spiritual journey. Because it is a journey, friends, to let go of what the world tells us is most important. But then another kind of person might respond to this question, what am I called to give, by saying, I would eventually like to begin to get to the tithe, that biblical word of 10%, but I'm not ready to do that this year. But I know God is calling me to start somewhere. And I know that God will bless that decision. And a third kind of person may have been giving for many, many years. For example, a priest friend of mine, he said that there was one couple, he said there were years ago, and they were just getting started, and they said, well, we'll tithe now. We'll do the 10% that God is asking us to do, and later we will do more. And so the years rolled by, and now they say, wow, Do we ever have more? So much more that we cannot fathom, that we have arrived at such a high income, 10% doesn't even stretch us. It does not feel like a sacrifice. So we feel that God is calling us to give more. So as we prepare for next Sunday, I know all of us will be praying, what is God's guidance? As we answer the question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? Because one sign of what one's give is not necessarily what is in one's pockets, but it really is about our relationship with worldly goods. It is a spiritual decision, and it's an important one. And Jesus invites those who were present as he was trying to be trapped, as they were trying to trap him, to tote him off to jail. Jesus was inviting them, let's really consider whose image is on us. And let our life, every aspect of our life, reflect that truth. Amen.